And now we're going to look at David Hume on money. The essay is called appropriately Of Money, it's online, and it's commonly considered really one of the greatest and most important writings in economics that's ever been penned. There's so much in modern monetary economics which has its roots in Hume's essay. There's one excellent passage early on where Hume refers to money as, quote, the oil which renders the motion of the wheels more smooth and easy. Hume is quite clear that in the short run, money supply increases boost output and they encourage individuals to work more. In Hume's narrative, workers and businessmen first, as there's new money flowing into an economy, they see higher prices, they find better markets, and they're inclined to expand their activities and also work more. This was an argument that was formalized much later by Robert Lucas in the 1970s. The way Hume put it was as follows, quote, it, the increase in money supply, it must first quicken the diligence of every individual before it increase the price of labor. For Hume, in the short run, money is definitely not neutral. Over time, however, prices adjust and an economy moves out of the period of transition, and in the long run, money is what we moderns would call neutral. That is, it leads to higher prices, but not a significantly greater output of goods and services. The long-run neutrality of money Hume expressed as follows, and to quote, it is of no manner of consequence with regard to the domestic happiness of a state, whether money be in a greater or less quantity. Of course, Hume here also is arguing against mercantilism, the doctrine that you could do a permanent improvement for an economy by continually increasing the inflow of specie into that economy. Hume's approach is very close to what we moderns call the quantity theory of money, and it's a very definite and very decisive move away from mercantilist modes of thought. Hume argued that the best possible monetary policy was a gently increasing money supply, because you would get some of the positive transitional effects from having some but not too much inflation. Hume thought the worst possible monetary policy was one of what we would call deflation, and he wrote, a nation whose money decreases is actually at that time weaker and more miserable than another nation which possesses no more money but is on the increasing hand. And think about it, just as inflation will lead to some moderate transitional increases in output and the employment of labor, so will deflation discourage business activity, and therefore it is a monetary policy which governments should, to the best of their abilities, avoid. Overall, Hume laid out very clearly his doctrine that prices, the level of prices in an economy, in equilibrium, they will be proportional to the supply of money in that economy. And this, again, is a very clear statement of what we would now call the quantity theory of money. Hume, by the way, also understood the distinction between the quantity of money and its velocity. He argued that in some cases, you could have a higher quantity of money, but if the velocity of that money were quite low, if it were simply held in hoards, it would not then have a proportional impact on prices. This is a remarkably sophisticated essay. It's also remarkably clear and very well written. You could still, to this day, teach monetary economics from Hume's essay and be imparting a lot of wisdom and not very much in the way of error. I consider this really one of the breakthrough essays in helping to produce modern economics. One thing you should look at are our videos on Hume on interest and Hume on the balance of trade. These are very much interrelated arguments, and it's also interesting to read Hume and compare him to other writers much later in the 20th century, such as Milton Friedman and Irving Fisher, who had broadly similar ideas, and then you will see just how well Hume's analysis has ended up holding.